The human cost of the coronavirus pandemic is still rising worldwide tonight, including well over 14,000 confirmed deaths in the United States. At the same time, infections are leveling off in parts of Europe, with similar signs in New York State, despite the number of deaths hitting a new high there. We begin with John Yang reporting on today's events.
In New York, the nation's coronavirus epicenter, Governor Andrew Cuomo said the hospitalization rate may be slowing.
We are flattening the curve by what we are doing.
But that doesn't mean people should be any less vigilant.
If we stop what we are doing, you will see that curve change. That curve is purely a function of what we do day in and day out.
In fact, yesterday New York saw the highest number of deaths yet in a single day, nearly 800. In New York City, there have been so many deaths, authorities are using refrigerated trucks to store remains. And New York's numbers show that African Americans and Hispanics there are dying at higher rates than whites.
We're here for you and we support you.
Amid the grim work on the medical front lines, signs of support. Police officers, firefighters, and healthcare workers cheered each other outside a hospital in Newark. Meanwhile, the University of Washington's forecasting model, one of many often cited by the White House, lowered its estimate of U.S. coronavirus deaths. Today, it projected more than 60,000 Americans would die by early August, down from 84,000. But the University of Washington's model has been on the low side, and there are questions about the accuracy of the official death count. Some say it may overlook those who die at home without seeking medical care, and those who die without being tested for coronavirus. In Washington, D.C., Trump administration officials say they are planning for life after the pandemic, but caution that was still a ways off. Dr. Anthony Fauci on Fox News.
If, in fact, we are successful, it makes sense to at least plan what a re-entry into normality would look like. That doesn't mean we're going to do it right now, but it means we need to be prepared to ease into that.
Dr. Deborah Birx on NBC's Today.
What's really important is that people don't turn these early signs of hope into releasing from the 30 days to stop the spread. It's really critical, and you can see the delay. So if people start going out again and socially interacting, we could see a very acute second wave very early.
President Trump expressed optimism on Twitter, saying the U.S. would open up our great country sooner rather than later. In Geneva, the World Health Organization Director General responded to the president's charge that the group mishandled the pandemic.
When there are cracks at national level and global level, that's when the virus succeeds.
In Britain, where more than 6,000 people have died, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is said to be getting better after a third night in the hospital.
His condition is improving. I can also tell you that he has been sitting up in bed and engaging positively with the clinical team.
Spirits were also high in Wuhan, China, where the outbreak began after its 76-day lockdown was lifted. Tens of thousands of people rushed to leave the city of 11 million, clogging bus terminals and train stations. Authorities wearing masks and protective gear checked travelers for fevers. For some who had been stuck in Wuhan, it was a welcome relief.
I haven't been out since January 21st. This is the first time I've left my house today. Now I'm going back home to meet my parents.
At day's end, the city celebrated with a light show. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm John Yang.